David, whether you have a few weeks old puppy or a senior who's seen multiple decades, any dog person like me knows the most valuable thing in the world is spending time with your pet.
Yep.
The farmer's dog makes it easy to keep them healthy, which can give you more quality years with your lovely dog.
Yeah, well, I've heard Farmer's Dog makes and delivers fresh, healthy dog food. And, you know, that's what everyone's looking for. It's recommended by vets, nutritionally balanced. It's made from human-grade ingredients, safe, clean kitchens. All that stuff matters.
Yeah. I mean, you love your dog. Why get the lousy food for your dog? Farmer's Dog is the best. Traditional dry and wet dog food options are extremely processed.
Sometimes
they use
dogs...
much lower quality. Yeah.
you put it in their bowl and they go, what is this kibble? And they knock it away. What is this canned goo?
Oh, yeah. I've had our dog, yeah, look at the bowl and then kind of crank its neck up and look at me. And it was like, really?
They go, really? Why don't you go first? You want a bite of this? Slop?
And it makes that sound.
Here you go, dog.
So Farmer's Dog isn't just higher quality food. They also send the food pre-portioned specifically for your dog based on their unique nutritional needs. It makes it easy to help your dog reach and stay at their ideal weight, David, and which is one of the biggest indicators of a full, healthy life. A fresh diet has been found to have all sorts of benefits, David, from healthier coat and skin, better breath, if you want to kiss your dog, and even easier digestion and smaller and better poops.
Let's look at a clip. It doesn't matter if your dog's young or old, it's always the right time to invest in their health for more happy years with your dog. Get 50% off your first box at farmersdog.com/fly.
Let the Farmer's Dog know we sent you. Use your code or click podcast after you sign up for your first box.
And now for a word from our sponsors at Betterment. Let's talk about hustle culture. You know, the whole rise and grind, go big or go home thing. It's a lifestyle that may not be for you, but one that your money can handle thanks to Betterment. Betterment is the automated investing and savings app that makes your money hustle. How? Their automated technology optimizes your investments again and again. With Betterment, your money is taking ice baths at 5 a.m. while you get your well-deserved rest. Your money downs protein smoothies and automatically reinvests your dividends all before you head out the door. Your money's a workaholic, but you don't have to be because you've got Betterment, the automated investing and savings app that makes your money hustle. Visit Betterment.com to get started. Investing involves risk. Performance is not guaranteed. Up next today, we've got Fortune Feimster, who I have called Feimster, and one of them is wrong. I'm not going to tell you which one.
I know, and I've called her Fortune Feimster.
I've called her Fartune.
I did it as Jules Brenner. Fartune. Our people worship you, Fartune.
She's really fun. We've done a lot of stuff together.
She was, as David would say, a blast.
Yeah, she's a blast. She's light on her feet, laughs the whole time. We talk about a lot about stand-up. We talk about closing bits, how you decide on a closer. That's sort of inside baseball, but people like that. We talk about butt massages, I think.
We did. She told a very funny story about butt massages, and there's a twist ending, so stay tuned for that. But
never see it coming, never.
She was full of fun and joy.
We talk about naming our comedy specials. You know, we talked to each of us had a name for special and how the arduous process of a name that no one's going to remember anyway, naming tours, all that.
Yes. And the process of building a new hour. She's one of those people, again, that makes you a little bit like, whoa, just can really get kind of a new hour in a period of a few weeks.
New hour of stand-up is very hard. Very hard for most stand-ups. She's very quick. She writes fast and she grinds it. She's in the road grinding it like Nikki Glaser. They're all out there grinding. Nate. These people are doing like 100 dates a year. It's unreal. Anyway, here she is. I hope you enjoy. We had a really, really good time with her. Here's Fortune.
Just, she's adorable. Here she is, Fortune.
Feimster. Is Fortune here?
Yes.
What was your nickname? Like
we're going right at it.
Because Fortune is such a great name. So nice to have you, and thanks for coming on.
Hi, Dana.
We are not smartless. They're the Borg. We are the little engine that could. Nice to meet you. I'm just curious, right? Because I saw your name in print. Fortune, like, hey, Fortune Cookie. I mean, what was it? What did they do with that? Because that's such a cool name.
Yes, my family was big on fortune cookies. That was My, my, it's an old family name. My grandmother's mom, it's her maiden name. So there's a bunch of Fortunes in my family with the last name Fortune.
Oh, and is that French?
Fortune. I don't know. I don't know. It was kind of a nod to my grandmother. It's technically my middle name, but it's what I started to go by.
It's such a good showbiz name. And, you know, if you do a special, your next one, maybe you call it Fortune 500 Minutes of Comedy. That's too
Or you call it Fortune Cookie and you make cookies while you do your stand-up. Mm-hmm.
That would be good. Although 500 minutes, I would need a lot more minutes.
It feels long, yeah.
Yeah. I might lose. I might lose some viewers.
People jump off after about 8 minutes of a special. I think I read that.
If someone says to me one more time, you got to drop into the algorithm. You got to make peace with the algorithm.
Fucking algo, guy.
I'm so fucked about the algorithm. We're living with an algorithm, and I don't know.
Yeah.
How are you trending? What's your numbers like? Feeling good?
Oh yeah, I'm always trending.
You're always shaking the tree.
That's right. Yeah. This tree right here.
Is that an office that looks kind of like, you look sort of like you're on a patio and you're outside?
No, it's just a corner of my office.
It's kind of cool because you have like boards instead of
this is like the trend now in houses is to make a wall, I don't know, have
look outdoor.
Oh, textured wall.
A textured wall. It's not like Spades with the skateboards on the wall.
Shrine. If someone says texture to me again, I'm going to blow my top. No, I'm kidding. Algorithm is my number one hateful word.
I don't really understand algorithms and why they...
It's because you're not a computer. They're like, this is what we like. This is what, and people are like, feed your algo. I go, I'm trying, but I don't know what that means.
The algo's mad.
Well, one site's like, don't post too much. It's not good for the algorithm. And then the other sites are like, you're not posting enough. The algorithm's mad. You're like, oh my God.
And don't delete one. If you delete one, the algo goes back to zero and you have to win it over again.
Really? Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, there's all these.
Another
things.
One is people say to me is don't look thirsty. Don't look too thirsty.
Yeah.
Don't do a byline on a clip that looks like you're kind of looking for clicks. It has to not look too thirsty. Is that the correct use of that, David? Can you say thirsty a lot? Yeah. It looks a little thirsty. Don't look thirsty.
I want to see Dana start posting thirst traps.
Yeah. That's Dana with his shirt off working out in the
give us what we want.
Let's just put it this way. You saw the Golden Bachelorette. I lived it.
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense, but it sounds funny. I'm doing two thumbs pointing to me.
Just point.
No, I'm in good shape for the shape I'm in. Everything's fine.
It's working.
Don't Wikipedia my name, Fortune.
Fortune, let's have a professional microphone. Is that part of the podcast situation you have right now?
Yes.
Yeah, you have your podcast. You want to promote it? Don't you have one?
Yeah. I have a podcast called Handsome with Tignataro, myself, and Meg Martin. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's right. I've seen that in the top 10. I mean, you guys are a hit, right?
Yeah, it's crazy. We're about six and a half months in, 8 million downloads. We're just being silly and laughing and...
It's hard not to look at those charts.
I know.
So you're looking at what, 6 months, 8 million downloads. Was that like $750 a month or what is that?
What's the algorithm?
Well, I used to be a CPA. I just like numbers.
I'm not good with numbers, but yeah,
you're doing fine.
Yeah.
It's really fun. We have somebody ask us a question. It kind of leads what the podcast is going to be about. And it's us just being ridiculous for an hour.
Is that how it works? That you have a question and you run off that?
Yeah.
Do you mind if we borrow that idea for our other podcast?
That's not a bad hook.
Because we're fresh out of bullets. So thank you. Let me write that down.
Yeah, write it down.
You just changed my life.
Listen, the clip's been empty for a while, Dana. Let's be honest.
Take a question and do an hour of witty...
Give us an example of something.
You guys are doing more than fine. This podcast is always up there on the charts, baby. Right?
Jeez, I can't look because I'm too sensitive. We are up there, huh?
Yeah.
I don't look at anything.
I love you guys together. This is a great combo.
Well, we love you.
Give us an example of like a question that you could jump off on.
Is
it just something vague or is it advice?
Like Reese Witherspoon asked us, like, what was your favorite holiday gift? And so we did that at Christmas. Colbert asked us, like, do you have any woo-woo beliefs?
Oh, you're asking celebrities.
Oh, yes.
Not just fans.
Yeah, we don't want just anyone asking a question.
Fortune, we don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but what question would you ask our podcast, The Super Life, if you were going to ask a question? Not saying we're going to use this, but what would it be?
Well, because you guys come from rarefied air, I would ask some sort of SNL question. I would be like, you know, what was the hardest part of working on SNL or something like that? Some inside baseball thing.
Oh, yeah. We get too inside, actually. We're talking about every meeting and every office in that 17th floor.
We have dissected. We have 150 hours of minutia. Well, the meetings are on Monday with the host. Yeah. You know, the rest of it. Did you ever have a thing about SNL being a cast member?
That was like my North Star forever. I grew up watching. I watched both of you guys. Huge fan of both of you. And
well, isn't that special?
I mean, come on. Church Lady was a big part of my childhood. And doing your dance. I mean,
Superior dance.
With the elbows up.
I don't know where it came from. I heard Steve Martin when he was on the show when I was doing the read through. I heard him say under his breath, "What kind of mind thinks of this?" Because it was like your bulbous buttocks are throbbing. Yeah. You're not, you know. But
y'all were my guys. I mean, Wayne's World, Spade telling people bye bye. I mean, it was all of it. I'm from a tiny town in North Carolina, so that was my only access to comedy. And I would watch the sketches. I would record them on my VCR, and then I would go to like softball or tennis practice and sort of recite these sketches for people. And then I ended up testing twice for SNL, 2009, 2010.
I did not test positive.
It was a cool experience, though.
We get people on who have that experience. And then I always say, God, there's so many inputs to being at the right place, the right time. It's not an outright rejection at all. It's literally people in the room going, oh, Fortune was really funny and your card's on the board.
Yeah.
But also, Barbara was great or Bill, whatever it is. So did you feel hurt by not getting it? Were you close or what did you think?
I mean, obviously that had been the dream for so long that not getting it was so disappointing. But I just, now that I'm at the place that I'm at in my life, I can see why it didn't work out. And I've weirdly enough gone on to work with so many SNL people. Even doing Keenan's sitcom, I worked with Lauren.
That means they loved you from Fortune. The audition.
Yeah.
And remembered you.
I was pretty green. I mean, I was in advanced at the Groundlings when my first audition happened. So I hadn't even gotten the experience yet of Sunday Company and doing sketches every week. Mm-hmm. I feel like I might have auditioned maybe 2 years before I was really...
No hard feelings. Fist bump?
I would say that I saw your special. And I would say there's a likability thing that happens with certain performers. I mean, I can see it when I look at certain people like Steve Carell or whatever.
Yeah.
And you do have that.
Thank you, big
time. And it's very cool to see the audience so charmed by you in your special.
Thank you. I appreciate
that. You're essentially clean. You're 99% just clean.
Yeah.
And you're doing stuff about dodgeball and stuff. It's just sort of, it's charming. But anyway, they blew it.
Well,
you should go back now.
I didn't even do stand up in my audition, which is wild to me now because I do feel like stand up obviously is a strong point
stronger,
for me.
My
first audition was all characters, and then I felt like I gave them all my best characters. So my second summer, I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do now. I should have just done stand-up.
Could you share?
You do a few characters. But what could you mind just telling us what the characters you auditioned with?
Well, it's funny. The first audition, I only had like...
Brenda.
I got called at like 3 p.m. on like a Wednesday, and they're like, "Can you be on a plane tonight?"
What am I, a booty call?
They always do that.
Yeah, it was crazy. They're like, "Can you be on a plane tonight?" And you're gonna audition at like noon tomorrow. So I was freaking out, but I almost like that better. I had less time to freak out. Yeah.
Yeah.
So my booty first call back.
My first audition actually, I thought went pretty well. I did Richard Simmons, obviously.
Obviously. Well, you look so much alike.
I did a Hooters waitress that I was doing at the time. What was funny is that I layered my clothes. So I started with my regular outfit doing, I can't remember what characters I did. And then I ended with taking that top layer off, and it was the Richard Simmons tank top.
The closer.
Then underneath, that was a Hooters tank top.
There's more. Oh my god!
And by the end of the audition, I had a pile of clothes, and I ended my audition, and I did feel like a stripper. That was like, okay, the lap dance is over.
Creeping it up
because it is kind of quiet. No matter who you are, it's just a few people. Oh, yes. Good. Okay, you missed something. Your shoes are over there. Thank you very much.
Yeah, there's like you see those three lamps in the corner. Look like, and I'm gathering my clothes. Oh. Like, okay, thank you,
Lauren. Do you have any Tide Pods?
So I'll never forget that part of it.
Did you have a rip cord at all, or was it just sort of unbuttoned, get it off?
Just taking it off.
No Velcro. You weren't on the show yet. When you get on the show, it's all Velcro.
Oh, and let me also add that I took my pants off because, of course, underneath my pants were short shorts. Because hello, Hooters waitress.
Dedicated.
So the pants didn't just come off? You had to get on a chair and get them off?
I had to kick my shoes off, pull my pants down. It was a whole... I mean, I was...
Jeez. That's kind of sexy.
Dana, I hate
that. How did I not get that job? That's crazy.
What I don't like, Dana, and this is not on the subject, when you're watching a porn, and I know you guys don't, but when you're watching a porn, everything's going great.
Boring.
And they're about to do it. And then they both sit down and start taking off their pants. And the guy's got to pull his Levi's over his shoes. I'm like, just take your shoes off for like, and then I'm like, God. And then it's all stuck and he's got to sit down and he lays on the floor. I go, can we just trim this part? Like, well,
I love that you're analyzing.
Spade has notes.
I write in the comments at the bottom. I go, I liked it. I did.
Yeah.
The algo went crazy. I'll put this image in your head. Fortune, because you like Wayne's World. So Mike had one of the best reveals ever. He was touring with me, and he would come out as Wayne with the whole outfit on, do these jokes. It's killing anyway. And then Sprockets would come on, and he had a spring mechanism that he suddenly, and then the wig comes off, his hair slicked back. So he's the German, he's Dieter, and he's strutting around with the music. And I go, fuck, I got to follow this.
Yeah.
This is
Sprockets. Wow.
It would crush just the suddenness of.
That is wild.
Yeah. Hi, Mike, if you're listening.
Yeah. Hi, Mike. Man, God, you guys were the best. That was, you are the best, that was just such a huge part of my childhood.
God. I told you, Dana, Fortune is likable, so watch out.
I know. You better watch out.
I told him, watch out. Don't fall for it. Fortune and I have worked on a few things, and, you know, Fortune, you won't remember this. But we were on a show called After Party.
I do remember that.
Okay. That was
in the
year.
Thick of COVID.
Into the thick of it. Yeah, we were, you know, the funny thing about this was, Dana, you knew Lights Out because you did it and Fortune did it. And
my favorite talk show.
That show is so good. I'm
intimate.
That show should still be on the air.
You know, I do hear more. I hear more about it after. But when we were doing that, our old buddy and your buddy, Ted Sarandos, would come sometimes, right? He was just a comedy guy, so he would pop by. Netflix was close by. So anyway, so when we got, word fired is strong. When we got COVID
fired, it was the
COVID
pandemic
came
really
and they had a new boss and they said, we're going to get rid of everything.
But, the new regime.
Yeah, so he called and said, Ted called and said, hey, is there a way we could do that over Netflix? Because we did like that, you know? I think the stipulation was at the end, if you could interview someone from one of the Netflix shows for 8 to 10 minutes after you do your panel, after you know? And I'm like, well, yeah, because we were always looking for like a fourth act, like the closing act anyway. Mm-hmm. So it'd be like a monologue and then some comedians blabbing about shit. And then maybe we'd film something and then interview someone. I said, that's actually perfect. What happened was we got me, Fortune, and London in there, mm-hmm. London Hughes. And we had mm-hmm. Bill Burr on the first one. And what happens is Ted hands it off.
Yeah.
And then it gets handed off. And then by mm-hmm. the time we start shooting, it's not lights out anymore.
No, yeah.
And unfortunately, it just turned into like an hour commercial for whatever show.
Just for the people listening. So this was Ted got you two together, and then you were doing like sort of a show that was about Netflix shows, loosely based, right?
It was supposed to be the same thing as Lights Out.
Oh,
yeah.
Supposed
to be Lights Out, then it turns into Entertainment Tonight.
It was originally supposed to just be comics, kind of do it. Yeah, just like joking around with
sitting
each
around
other.
And doing what we do. And
yeah,
Bill. And the first one, they said, let's do Bill Burr and then someone from Netflix. And I'm like, oh, only one comic. Okay, well, So it sort of just got changed. And, you know, all those things are well-intentioned, like whoever's in charge, the English guy. And he said, well, we'll do this because it works here in England. And then the second show, how about no comic? And it's that fast. We're like, wait, this is really different. So,
well, it was odd because Spade's a very famous guy. You've been around, like, you're suddenly interviewing, like, Fate the Wink Saga. Love is Blind. And you're like, why is Spade interviewing? You know what I mean? It was like, what's happening?
And I didn't even claim to know enough about it. I go, maybe London should do this one because she's more into it. She knows things I don't know. And I'm like, I don't even know what I'm doing. And I'm Babe, and they're like, don't read the cue cards. I'm like, I don't know what show this is. I don't know.
Babe would be like, so Jenny and Georgia. Which one of you's Jenny? Which one of you's Georgia?
Like, I go, I've seen every episode. Now, which one's Jenny? And I go, oh, you might figure that out after a few episodes.
You've watched 7 seasons, but that's your first question.
I really did like Jenny and Georgia. That was a fun one because I did watch it.
Yeah.
And she was a sweetheart.
Yeah.
But the farther it went along, I started, whatever. I mean, there's
no
real blame.
You didn't need to be interviewing people.
I just
show.
Turned into something else, and it was well-meaning. I still like Lights Out-ish. I mean, maybe we'll do a panel show one day.
It was fun to do, like, because in that we got to hang and laugh, and it was during the thick of the pandemic when people weren't working. I think that first episode did so well. It was like the numbers were like insane. Yeah. That then they were like, "Whoa, wait, what?" And then a bunch of cooks were in the kitchen.
Yeah, they go, "If this worked." It would work even better if we changed it all.
It would work. It works so well. We should change it a lot.
Are you telling me? Wait a minute. Are you guys telling me that the suits of the hierarchy will take something that's working and inject their clueless ego and destroy the souffle?
Well,
is that
listen,
your premise?
I'm saying it happens on every show, and sometimes it works. Sometimes it makes the show better. In this scenario, it didn't play to anything I did well, so I'm have to blame because. I was half checked out going, I don't know what I'm doing anymore. Like,
well, it wasn't the show that you came in with that was working and was,
I didn't do a monologue
like, great
after
for
a while.
You.
I didn't do any goofing on comedians anymore. So it just came, hi, I'm David Spade. And tonight we talk to the cast of, mostly it's a new show and I have to go watch it because we're telling everyone who these people are, you know, no one knows sometimes.
You were basically Mario Lopez.
Yeah. And you
who
were,
we love.
You were Maria Menounos.
Who we love.
You were great at
we love him
people.
Very much. He's tremendous. Sorry.
The Karate Kid one was fun because we did a sketch about him.
That was
with
fun.
Ralph? With Ralph Macchio?
Cobra Kai, yeah.
Yeah, Cobra Kai. Well, it sounds like a great show. I'm just going to write down reboot. What was the name of it?
No Need.
It was called, what was
no
it?
No Need. No, no need.
No need
to reboot name it. For the algo. No need.
After, that was called After Party.
After Party, yes.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big ROAS man. Then he just kept saying things like, the bigger the ROAS, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means calculating a return on ad spend. One thing's for sure. I'll be known as the ROAS man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/wall to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/wall. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Fortune, if you had that experience, sorry, just based on what, taking David Spade, really, yeah, really funny, all-time funny, and then making him kind of the straight interviewer. Have you had experiences where they take you, funny, 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 and then somehow make you unfunny? They
I'm sure.
Kind of, it happened to me a lot, you know, when I wasn't writing it. You
yeah.
know? But what was your worst experience in a show? And we want names.
Gosh, I'm trying to I'm
Or has it been
remember.
A golden career?
No, I mean, there's definitely some misses. I mean, I definitely think, so I went from Mindy Project was my first series regular. I had just come off of Chelsea Lately loved it. And they wrote so well for me. I didn't have to think about anything. I literally just would show up. It was the best job. And then we went from that to a show called Champions that was on NBC. And same group, similar group of people. But it was a new show, so it was trying to find its way. I definitely think that was a character I didn't really know what that character was, and I was overacting and like intense, and I was like, oh, this is not working.
You mean like you're trying to go for the laughs a little harder?
Yeah,
and it still wasn't clicking.
Yeah, because I think the pressure of it being a new show and we're like, where's the funny? I was pushing too much. Yeah.
It happens on stage with comics too, myself included, where when you're getting a tough crowd, you start to go bigger. You can't, or you bring out the profanity. It's just so, or you speed it up. There's so many classic things you do that are wrong.
One I did, I only had one shot at it because the air conditioner went out the first night, you know, shooting a special. So then that wasn't usable because it was sweating. People were leaving. So it's kind of like you work on something for 6 months. You got one shot. Here he comes. So very hard not to kind of push a little bit. But full circle back to your special, totally relaxed. Didn't feel like you were recording. Was that what I seen was real? I mean, you didn't look like you're pushing at all.
That's good.
I don't know what you felt.
I don't get nervous, obviously, with live shows. I only get nervous when I'm filming. So there is that pressure to be like you said, I got two shows to get this right. I've been touring for so long with this material. I don't want it like tonight to be like the dud. I think I'm a little stiffer on the first show. And then if I get that, at least the beats down, then I'm like, oh, I have the baseline there. Now I can just be.
You can always pull, because people at home don't know. You sort of usually combine the shows.
Yeah.
You do the same act twice. Then you go, that joke worked better in here. The one about the propeller worked better in the second show. And you kind of patch it together. But also, I think on mine, you know, everyone had a mask on and I didn't know.
Yeah.
So when I went out, the laughs were noticeably
muffled. Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my God. Because the first thing you don't want to think after your first joke is, oh my God, they're a tough crowd. It's my crowd and they're tough.
I'm having to win over the people that already like me.
Yeah. I'm winning over my own crowd that paid.
That's
and
so
I'm
bad.
Like, and they don't. But after I got off, they go, God, it was tough because they were all muffled. I go, oh, they were with the N95, like super non-laugh muffler, comedy killer. And then
you couldn't see it from the stage that anyone?
No.
You're like, I don't want to look at anyone.
And then I'm like, why? And then I thought, God, why is this so tough? And but you know, you
can
fix it and tweak, but you want to just be loose and be like, the other night I went on in Santa Rosa and I'm like, this is such a fun show. I knew before I walked on, the crowd was good. I go, I wish I was taping tonight. It just,
well, that's the best theater I've ever played. Is that,
really?
That used to be the Luther Burbank and now it's called Wells Fargo or something like that, right?
I think Luther Burbank is still in the title.
It's in Santa Rosa. You have to play that place because it's based on a church with a balcony. It's sort of a half cylinder. And if you talk about feng shui of rooms, right, David? It's 1600, but it plays like a club. It's really, really... Oh, nice.
The balcony is up on your sides also. It's not just in the back. And so they're all on top of you.
Everyone's on top of you, kind of. It just has that quality. So yeah. I'm going to call my agent after I get off this. And when would be good for you to... play a Saturday in Santa Rosa.
Yeah, just let me know.
Dude, Fortune grinds out the gigs.
You are kicking it. I saw your schedule.
You don't look tired.
I am tired. Both these tours have been back to back and have been over 100 cities.
Fucking A, Richie Rich.
Wow.
And I film FUBAR with Arnold in between tours. Yeah. I haven't had a break since the pandemic.
We're going to put a hammock on the set.
Let's go. Come on. Fortune.
Yeah. Fortune. You know, she get that actress with the name and it brings good fortune. That's why we hired her. And she's happy and smiling. And we do the shots. And then we're ready for the premiere with Ted Sarandos.
he brought up at one point Hans and Franz. And I was like, oh, yeah.
No, he's hysterical. Yeah. So you're doing incredible. You're standing up. You got FUBARs. You got shows. Seems like you're on a roll for the last many years. I mean, congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
It doesn't always go perfect. Like, it's awesome.
I just work my butt off. I don't ever stop because, you know, as all of us, you know, have that fear of like what's going to happen that time when people don't want to come, you know? So
there's no real demand for us. That's the thing. I guess if I stop, I won't be like, okay.
Yeah, so people are just like, bye. So, yeah, I just grind because, you know, I just, I do enjoy it. And there is that fear of like, when will this stop? So let's go.
You're young and yeah, go for it. I'm just curious. Do you have a name? Because David, what's your name of your tour? I think they're kind of funny.
Well, this is a good question because I was also going to say, when you do 100 at a clip, do you flip the whole hour or what? What is your...
At the end of this tour?
Yeah, like when you did your first 100 shows, now do you have to wait and then you start over and flip the whole hour or do you do a combo plate?
I do the tour like 100 cities, however many shows, 150 shows, film a special. Some of those cities, not many, might be right after. And then I go off the road. For a couple months, doing like local shows. The special comes out.
Wow, okay.
And then I do some clubs to work on that new stuff. And I tell people, I'm working it out.
They love that, though.
Yeah.
You know, they love it.
And then, so say if the special came out in like October, I'm working clubs November, December. January, I'm starting a new tour, hour.
Fast? You get an hour that fast? That's so hard.
That's what I've
done. You're a machine.
I did that. This will be my third hour in 5 years.
It's so hard. People don't get how hard it is. Like, is it going to be stuff I know? And I go, well, some people go on Instagram, you didn't even do those three jokes like for your special. I go, I know, because half the people want new and half the people want old. I don't know.
Are some jokes that people are like, will you tell that? You know, that one thing. So I was doing that early on. I was doing a joke or two from my Sweet and Salty special. And then now that I'm filming in April, my next special.
Okay.
So now I'm just doing what that hour is going to be.
Where are you going to film it?
curious. In Seattle at the Moor.
Mm. Oh, I'm going to Seattle September.
Yeah, it's fun. It's a really beautiful theater. It's like 1900 seats, and three levels, but all the levels are like right at the stage. So everything's very close. So the laughter is big and nice.
So you've done three. I saw one. I hope I saw the latest one.
I have two that are out and I'm filming the third one.
Okay. On Netflix.
Yeah.
And so do you have a name for your tour?
Well, it really is hard to come up with those names. I did Live, Laugh, Love, which is, you know, that classic sign all your mom's, you know, kitchens or living rooms. I just think that sign is so funny. And I love that my mom's like, that's art. I'm like, you got it, sis. It sure is.
I've done live, laugh, do crack. No, so
I'm just embracing the corniness of it, I guess.
So you did sweet and salty.
No, I think it's nice. Yeah. Sweet right? and salty.
Sweet and salty was my, but see, I never, the name of my tours don't ever end up being the name of my special.
Oh, is that different? Wait, I don't know. Mine's Catch Me Inside.
Yeah.
And my tour was called, I mean, my special was called, I don't fucking know.
What was remember. It called? You
I don't
remember.
Remember. Heather, what is my tour called? My...
Heather.
Oh, what is it? Something Problems?
Some oh
this has it? Been a running game.
It's hilarious
for 2 years that he
hilarious.
Can't
oh,
nothing,
remember the name.
No.
Nothing personal.
Okay,
nothing personal. It's so hard to remember
because I do jokes about people.
Yeah,
I did one about Stallone. I did one about all these people I actually like, and I do a joke. I'm like, wasn't that funny? And they're like, oh. It's fucking mean. I go no.
No, I was just having fun.
Oh, it's funny for me because I get the benefit
I was just funning. I was just funning.
I was honestly just funning.
Next time you're gonna go get four, whatever. You're kind of from the South, maybe. No, North Carolina.
I'm definitely from the South.
North Carolina.
I'm going there. How is that place? I'm going there.
You're going? When are you going?
What's it called? The CPAC?
DPAC. That's in Durham.
CPAC.
I'm going to be in. That's what you breathe out. DPAC in a couple of weeks.
Oh, you are. That's going to
yeah.
be great.
Yeah, that's a
did
good
you
one.
Really graduate summa cum laude? This sounds like a lie.
I did.
Jeez, you're no wonder you could do a new hour in 8 weeks.
Yeah, fucking Stephen Hawking.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, right.
That's what everyone says.
It was just again because I was an overachiever. It wasn't,
did you had six people in your high school.
I'm in a small town. I'm from a small town for sure. It's like 10,000 people.
Yeah.
And then my college was small too. So,
fucking still, that's good on the resume.
Yeah. I mean, what the irony is, I was working so hard in college to have a resume, and in LA, no one cares.
Shit. I know.
People are like, you went to college? Okay.
What a loser.
Yeah. You fucking loser. Yeah. I'm like, oh, super.
You're not dedicated to comedy because you didn't quit school.
unless you went to Harvard, no one cares in comedy that you went to college.
They were all Ivy League at SNL. Yeah. A lot of the writers from Harvard or Brown or, well, let's see, Dartmouth.
Yeah.
And I went to San Francisco State. He went to Scottsdale Community
College.
Or
dumb comics. It was great. Smart writers or dumb comics. That was a good combo.
Or it's just AA degrees from community colleges.
Yeah.
You know.
DeVry.
It's a trip. I did, I sold a pilot and Tina Fey and Robert Carlock were the producers. This was a while ago.
That's big.
And they had a lot of the 30 Rock writers because I co-wrote it with Matt Hubbard, who did 30 Rock, and they're all Harvard. They're all Ivy League guys. And it is definitely like a different brain, the joke machine kind of thing. I had not worked with people like that before.
Well, they know all the references. They know French words. They know exactly what happened in the early part of the Civil War. They just have an educated pedestal to stand
early
on.
Part of the Civil War.
Well, they would know what George Washington ate for breakfast. I mean, these guys are educated.
I'm all
Conan
like,
has a doctorate in
I'm
comedy.
Like, I loved Fun Dip growing up.
Yeah. Funyuns, Fun Dip, anything with fun, I liked.
Looking to save on delivery? DashPash from DoorDash is your door to $0 delivery fees and savings you can't get anywhere else. DashPass is an exclusive membership with DoorDash that gets you unlimited $0 delivery fees on eligible orders and members-only deals and discounts. Whether it's food from your favorite restaurants, grocery from across town, or anything in between, DashPass is the most affordable way to get everything you need delivered right to your door. With $0 delivery fees and lower service fees on eligible orders, DashPass makes it easy to save at restaurants, grocery stores, and all your local favorites on DoorDash. DashPass pays for itself in 2 orders on average. Plus, DashPass gives you special access to exclusive promotions and menu items, all for $9.99 a month. Get more from delivery for less with DashPass. $0 delivery fees and reduced service fees on eligible DoorDash orders. Sign up for DashPass today and get your first 30 days free if you're a new member. Subject to change. Terms apply.
Hey, Fidelity. Can I get a second opinion on stocks in the Fidelity app?
With Fidelity, it's easy to get an outside opinion from independent experts in a single score.
And then?
When you're ready, trade U.S. stocks and ETFs with no commissions.
That's right.
I am always right.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Online U.S. equity trades and ETFs and a retail Fidelity account. Sell order assessment fee not included. Some account types and securities excluded. Details at fidelity.com/commissions. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Did you ever have a fun dip, Chunk? What were your early stand-up? What are some of your, what you look back now that you feel are cringy or still special?
Oh, I had a fun dip in a
situation. You did have a fun dip,
in my
Chunk?
Sweet and Salty special. That one was about being on the swim team. I joined the swim team because I found out that the swimmers ate fun dip, and that was the only thing that got me to do it.
And then you were a champion?
I didn't know how to swim. My parents signed me up for the swim team and I didn't know how to swim.
You thought it was how to learn how to swim?
I ran across the pool.
Like Jesus? Or what do you mean ran across the pool?
Like I thought I could fool people into thinking I was doing the butterfly.
Oh, okay.
So
you ran across the bottom.
The bottom, yeah. So I was like running and doing like the motions. The
fuck, yeah.
I'm like, no one will know. And I beat everyone. I got there first. So they technically had to hand me a ribbon.
That's not cheating.
Well, then I was informed that I was disqualified.
You get out of the pool and they just hand you a ribbon? There's no ceremony?
You get a ribbon, but then someone has to tell me, like, actually, like, you got disqualified.
They said, DQ, and you go, we're going to Dairy Queen? And I go, no.
So that's one of those classics that I like to call them. But yeah, my earlier stuff, sure. I watched my half hour from Comedy Central. There was, again, a lot of that pushing, a lot of that yelling punchlines. And I mean, my wife is like, can you lay off the yelling of punchlines? I'm like, sure.
I've done it. My old stand-up, I'm like, hey, everybody, you've been to the DMV? It's crazy. They're like, all right.
I had my brother say something to me that stuck with me. I'm at the Improv in the early 80s, terrified, 8 o'clock spot. And I just bought it. I mean, you know. Dead silent. Someone goes, Norman Lear seemed to like it. You know, it's like eight
before
people.
Before he left.
My brother just kind of said, hurry up and be funny.
Ooh,
you know, rushing it, trying to just go really fast. Maybe that'll save me. Hurry up and be funny. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. That when you're bombing, it seems like such an instinct. And I did it 2 weeks ago at the Comedy Store. I went on and I thought I was hot shit and I was fucking cold boogers. I went out there and, you know, I start going and they're not buying it. I'm like, what the fuck? Then I start going, wait, what am I doing? Oh, I should jump to that one. Oh,
yeah.
They don't like this. They don't like that. And then you start spiraling. You're like a horse that got spooked.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to be honest, and it's a good it sounds self-congratulatory, but it feels like the audience is kind of waiting for either George Bush Sr. or Carter or something.
Oh, yeah.
From you.
And I could do any kind of thing about me at 7-Eleven or a regular stand-up bit. But then if I hit a voice, that's what we want, you know.
That would be nice to have in your back pocket, though. You're like, it's like playing a guitar. You're like, you guys don't like this? Are you going to like this?
Oh, yeah. Here we go. Bow, 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 bow. Yeah.
Say hello to the church lady.
But see, you're so great at impressions. Impressions is not obviously I can't even get rid of my Southern accent. I've been in LA 21 years. So
you have a very cool voice. I've just been starting to really listen to it. It's tonally in the accent. Yeah, it's just kind of. I'm not going to try to do you, but there's something about
Please
all
do.
That. I did Daniel Craig in Knives Out, that was called.
Yeah, classic. Because
I did a cartoon for Robert Carlock and Tina Fey. And so they said do kind of a South Carolina, you know. So I just watched Knives Out, and I just did that. I just did it over the top. You know, it's
think about like Foghorn Leghorn.
Basically, that's what I'm trying to say. And I guess it worked. I don't know. I don't know.
Well,
if
I said boy.
It's even said. It's jarring even hearing it not Knives Out because you're like, it's so old school.
Yeah,
I know.
No one thinks that's real. Oh, they go, no. When you're in the Midwest, you go, that's not like a real thing.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like a real voice. Yeah.
Well, what kind of, and I, who am I doing now? There's a friend of mine. He's from the South and he kind of talks like this. What y'all fixing to do?
Yeah, that's like Tennessee.
He acts kind of dumber than he is. I go, what are you doing saying you don't know what's going on? He goes, I was just playing possum. I was just funning, and people, I talked to go ahead.
Well, people do think all the every Southerner is a dumbass because of our accent.
Well, also this woman from Alabama who was a masseuse, and she was a really good one. She used to put her elbow on your ass and go, "Give it."
I like that elbow on the ass.
Give it. Oh yeah, you had a whole. Wasn't that the whole?
Give it.
Yeah, butt massage.
That was funny,
and that and that's very real. I had a guy,
masseuse.
He only wanted to give butt massages, and I was like, I really was startled at first, and then it was the greatest thing I'd ever experienced. And he would do it for like just the butt for like 30 minutes.
Oh my God!
Would not touch like feet, legs. Anything else? He would do shoulders for like 10 minutes, and then that was the massage. And I kept going back because I was like, no one else is touching my butt like this guy.
Yeah, well, you walk in backwards.
Yeah.
Ready, here we come.
And then he got fired, and I was like, oh, yeah, I think he did.
He was never supposed to do that probably at all.
He was just doing it. Hey, do I owe anything? No, you don't owe me anything. It's fine. I just got off. What?
And and he would make noises like, like he was so like, into it. And I was like, I should be grossed out by this, my butt has never been more relaxed.
Do you know that the glute muscle and all that stuff around there connects the lower body? It is the biggest muscle in your body, the most important.
Yeah.
You must have felt incredible. You must have walked with a bigger stride after that.
For sure. And I thought after doing that joke that like, okay, now when I go to a massage place, they're going to be like, let's give her the old butt. Elbow,
because they saw it in the special,
and not one has done it. I'm like, God dang it!
You know what? They give you those code words, like they really dress it up, like gluteus, medius, and all this. And you're like, right,
piriformis,
and they're not just saying I'm into butts.
No one's like, do you want me to? They're not even giving me the option. Like, would you like me to get in on that glute? I'm like, yes, please. I don't want to be a creep that's like, hey, what can you?
I do. I say get in that butt.
Get in that butt.
Look, I like big butts and I cannot lie. Who sang that song?
Sir Mix-a-Lot.
Sir Mix-a-Lot.
Come on now. Have y'all had butt massages?
Oh, my God. Yes. Can I do my favorite
you guys do
glute joke?
Give it to each other.
Joke. This is Hans and Franz. They're my favorite put down. Your buttocks are like marshmallows. You're lucky I don't have a campfire here. So the reason that's funny is like, what are they going to burn? They're going to put his ass in a fire?
Burn, right?
Because his ass is like marshmallows. I've gotten a lot of massages, but not lately. I need a masseuse. Somebody. Yeah.
Dana, what do you think is the character people most request from you?
It's a pick'em, depending on age group. It would be the George Bush Sr. Or Garth. It's George Bush Sr., Garth, Church Lady, Hans and Franz, or Ross Perot, probably.
Yeah. What's your closer?
My closer, I do like 50 micro impressions. And you ever have a joke in your act, Fortune, that you don't feel is like the best bit, but it gets an oversized response? You're like, really?
Yeah.
Like I do George W. Bush as a stand-up with an old stock joke that Leno gave me once.
Uh-huh.
And it kills so hard. I'm always like, really? George W. Bush is a stand-up. 2 Irishmen walk out of a bar. it could happen.
Oh, they walk out of it.
You know, I'm going, oh my God. That's just such a silly joke. Yeah. I do like 100 micro impressions in a row.
Oh, that's cool.
Just to bludgeon them quick, 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 quick.
Yeah.
1,000 stabs with a knife, and then they collapse at the end.
The one that lately kills, I just brought it back because it made me laugh, was just a way to do George Bush Sr. that I feels new. But anyway.
Yeah.
George Bush Sr. tries to go off a high dive. So I'm crawling up to the front of the stage. He's looking down. Gotta do it. Gotta do it. Then it's like he looks over. Nah, gotta do it. You know, it's just rhythmically.
That's fun, yeah. But I love that.
Thank you. So what's your closer?
Don't give it away if you don't want to give away your closer.
Well, you've had different closures. Yeah. You know,
Your sweet and salty closer?
What's the new one that you just wrote that you're going to do in your special?
Don't waste it.
I'll just say that this hour is... I've kind of fallen into the storytelling rhythm of my stand-up. So every special has a beginning, middle, and end. Like I'm introducing a premise to you, and here's kind of this is going to go on a journey, and then this is all going to tie in at the end, and then here Holy we are going to come full circle. The closer is not necessarily like, oh my God, this is gonna like, you know, slap your titties.
Just beat yourself up and slap your titties.
Just slap your titties. This is good.
Yeah.
But it's a victory that involves what I set up in the beginning. Mm-hmm. And so it's set. I introduced something early on.
Jesus, you're Christopher Nolan.
You're
like, I do my act backwards once.
So the closer is the victory. Mm-hmm. And then I have the big clap for the victory, and I am tagging it with another thing that like brings it full circle a second time.
People got to come watch it.
And then do you put your hands up and go, good night?
And then photos.
And then I do a photo.
Yeah. Oh, before I let you go, Fortune, you got to tell us, how do you do the photo at the end? Because I never do it. And I go, I got to do this.
I know, you asked me, you're like, how do you do that? Because it is kind of an awkward, like you've gotten your victory. And then you have to be like, okay, now I'm going to need a photo. I just kind of, if people are so used to it now, I just finished the thing. And while they're clapping, I'm like, thanks for coming. You guys are the best. Let's get a photo for the old Instagram or my scrapbook or whatever. And some
scrapbook.
And I just say, you know, I go on the count of three.
And they did. They're the house lights know to go up.
They bring the house lights up, and I go on the count of three. Just act like you had a good time, and I count to three, and everyone goes, and we get a picture.
When I do it, I'm gonna go, and on three, stand up on two. And on three, it'll look like a standing ovation.
What I do, which is an inside joke with my opening act sometimes, Larry Bubbles Brown is very funny because I tell him I'm going to do it. So I'm doing a guitar thing, wham! Then I take the neck of the guitar and I hold the whole guitar up slowly way over my head. So I'm kind of like 12 feet tall. Uh-huh. And as I move the guitar up, the audience is hypnotized into standing up. And then he's always laughing so hard. I'm holding a cut off head. And
I love it. They're like, we're standing for this.
Yeah. Look at the guitar. It's up in the sky. I got to get on my feet.
Well, when know it's over, it's like when a plane lands, they're like, I just want to stand up and get out of here. I take it as a compliment. But they're can you stamp this? And I'm like, no, I'm leaving the stage.
Well, because all of us kind of set up the end for them, right? We're like, and now, my closer. Yeah. You know, you kind of get
I said, before I go, here's one last thing.
Yeah, that helps.
Call the babysitter, say you're on the way.
Yeah.
And then it tips them off.
Mm-hmm. Do you have nights where it's Mayday, Mayday, where you have to call an audible, you have to cut things or hurry it up? The audience is tired or drunk or they're just quiet. And do you adjust or you just, it's not a problem? I mean, since you're telling stories, it's harder to like trim it on.
Chop them, you know?
Right. Yeah, because there's definitely a specific set I'm running right now. If the audience seems a little like my closer didn't get the punch I wanted, if it's feeling a little incomplete, ooh, I will then say, and as a cherry on top, let's do a classic. And oh, I'll give them probably the most popular story I do is from Sweet and Salty about going to Hooters as a kid. And then my...
Matt, you know, it's a good one. It works.
What's that? Oh, it always works. So.
And if that doesn't work, you're like, fuck it.
If that doesn't work, then
just not funny. Bye.
I got nothing for you guys.
Could you just tell us the first laugh line of that story? The first.
So what it is that I just say I've been to Hooters my entire life because I have two older brothers. They loved Hooters. So it was never a big deal. And my mom started dating a very conservative man when I was in high school. Who, you know, everything was a sin. And I said, we were trying to figure out where to eat. And my mom's, I start playing my mom where she stiffens up and she looks at me and she's like, I have never been to Hooters. And it's because it's a long story, but now that people know this story and love the story, the whole audience,
they wait for it. Oh. They say it with
me,
you.
Oh, I have never. The whole audience is yelling, I have never been to Hooters as a whole crowd. It's pretty fun.
That's like damn. Beyonce. Yeah. I like
yeah,
that.
I'm just like Beyonce.
Rewind it back to the days of chill action on the beach and all day fun with spring break on DraftKings Casino. Play exclusive games like fan fave Rocket. The excitement is endless, the vibes are right, and the cash prizes could be huge.
New players start playing with just $5 and get 100 back instantly in casino credits. Download the app and use code FOTW to book your one-way ticket to fun with DraftKings Casino. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. 21 plus. Physically present in Connecticut, Michigan, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, West Virginia only. Void in Ontario. Eligibility and other restrictions apply. One per opted-in new customer. $5 wager required. Max. $100 in casino credits awarded, which require one-time playthrough within 168 hours. See terms at casino.draftkings.com/promos. Restrictions apply.
Reality TV has hit a new high on Hulu. From executive producer Jimmy Kimmel, the all-new Hulu original series High Hopes is finally here for your viewing pleasure.
The Hulu original reality series follows two budding entrepreneur brothers and their hilarious half-baked employees at one of the fastest-growing cannabis dispensaries in Hollywood. This workplace comedy showcases the highs and even more highs of the competitive marijuana industry.
More than just coworkers, the owners and bud tenders in High Hopes are one dope family.
You'll fall in love with these quirky characters as they pursue career aspirations, love, and fame, all under a slightly hazy cloud.
All episodes of the new reality series High Hopes are now streaming only on Hulu. What size rooms are you playing now? What's your biggest room you've ever played?
I just did the Chicago Theater, and that was 3,500 seats. It was sold out. That was pretty awesome.
That's hard to do.
Yeah, it was definitely like a cool, like, holy cow, this is a milestone moment. I'm doing anywhere from 1,500 seats to the 3,500 seats. And then sometimes I'm selling out the 2,700 seat and adding a show, or sometimes I'm selling out the 2,700 seats and that's that. Or sometimes I'm, you know, happy to have the 1,200.
What city? This is inside baseball for our listeners. What city do you sell the tickets the easiest? The fact, you know, certain cities like, oh, you sold out already. What city loves you the most? Seattle? Because that's where you're going back to.
Seattle's, we're at like 6,000 tickets there that weekend. It's pretty crazy. Seattle, wow. Chicago. Mm-hmm. We almost added a second show, but I got too nervous to like not have the victory.
It's hard. Yeah. If you don't fill up the mm-hmm. second one, it sometimes looks weird. I've done that.
Yeah.
Why did I'll just come back.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Dallas, mm-hmm. Charlotte. I mean, I have this, I'm in this weird spot where I'm Southern, but I'm also gay. Mm-hmm. So I do a lot. I do really well in red states that would surprise people. because there are, you know, even yeah. though they're red states, there are people there that want to, they want to see
come out at
people.
Night. Yeah.
yeah. They want to see people yeah. that don't come through as much. Mm-hmm. And, so yeah, I do like, I sell better in like Mobile, Alabama than I do San Francisco.
Oh, wow.
It's wild. Uh-huh. Cause those, a lot of those folks are just starved for, you know, other voices that right. they don't get coming through or there as
just
much.
Some representation. They go, we don't, in San Fran, it's every night somebody.
Yeah.
You're like, there, you're like, hey, this yeah. will be fun. And then plus you do just a great stand-up show anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I try to do jokes and stories that are not geared towards one person or one voice mm-hmm. or one experience. Even though I am gay, there's a lot to me that is goes beyond that. So my stories are coming from a place of like, you know, being a kid in the 80s, being a, having a quirky mom, you know, being married. Mm-hmm. So things that, you know, even in Good Fortune, my last special, proposing to my wife, that's something men could relate to, you know, being mm-hmm. nervous, not getting it right. I try to throw out stories that, that different people can, you know, grab onto and relate to.
Right. Yeah. I think you have a very broad appeal to all kinds of people.
Thank you. I try.
I mean, I think so. I'm going out on a limb. I'm predicting good things. One is not only that you're talented, that you have a great work ethic. It's very impressive that you yeah. can turn an hour and treat it like a college assignment or something. I guess you're, ooh. Are you recording? You go to the clubs, you record your set, and then
yeah.
you're writing, listening to the recording, making notes, writing, going back to the club. I mean, it's...
It's hard and
mentally
that
hard.
It is know. My least favorite process. The writing of the new hour. I'm sure you guys feel similar. It's tough. It's hard. I'm like, what? I mean, at the end of this, I'm like, what am I going to talk about?
And you're like, I don't need, I have a couple yeah. things at work. I don't have a closer. I don't have like something that kills every time. And then you're yeah. like missing your old stuff going, fuck, I could put that in right here.
I know it's hard. It's not a process. That process, I enjoy it when it's on its feet and I'm working it out.
Yeah.
But I don't enjoy the, like, I don't know what stories to even start with. Yeah. That's
you've already
part.
Racked your brain for three specials. You're like,
yeah. And we're all working all the time. So yeah. My wife's like, we got to like live some life, you
new
know?
Stuff.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Do something different.
I don't want to be talking about like rental cars and hotels
yeah.
in my next one.
And right, gold right. bars that so, you bought.
I'm a gold member of Hertz.
Well, thank you, Fortune. Thanks
for coming on. So nice to meet you. I hope we run into each other and I'll go, hey,
so
you're
too.
On our podcast. Hi, Fortune.
Dana, it's such a treat to talk to you and meet you. And
my pleasure.
I love me some Spade, too. And Spade and I went real quick. We went to, happened to be at Craig's once at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's
and,
right.
They thought,
the place in LA to eat.
Yeah.
Oh, there was a booth between us that was empty.
Yep. And they so Spade was in one booth over here. We were on the other booth, an empty booth between us, and Meghan Markle and Prince Harry were maybe gonna come
yeah.
and be between us.
Yeah.
And I was like, this would have been the greatest story.
Oh my
ever.
God. Because they came up and whispered, they go, hey, just so you know, we're not supposed to tell. Meghan Markle and Prince Harry are going to sit right there. And I'm like, oh, fuck yeah. And then I look over and I see Fortune. I go, oh, my God. We go over there. We're like conspiring. Like, this is going to be so fun.
Yeah.
You're going to get 10 new minutes.
But yeah. then remember, yeah. Fortune, we saw a couple like Secret Service guys
yeah.
come in.
Like checking
then,
the place out.
And I think they went back and said, there's two clowns on either side and I wouldn't go in there. And
they're
I think
probably
they go,
going to TikTok. Let's not yeah. have this happen. Yeah.
They went to the bungalows after.
Oh yeah. man, but I thought that would have been the greatest moment of
how fun.
Like you and I sandwiching a royal.
Would you have gone over?
No, you, I know, I you probably, you wouldn't.
I wouldn't unless they came over. Yeah, at least they said something.
Yeah. Like, bye-bye.
I would just nod my head and go, Carrot Top.
But anyway.
Oh, it's Prince Harry. I love all your stuff. You're fabulous. My name's Dimitri, and nice to meet you. No, I wouldn't have done it. I would have ran away. I want them on this podcast.
All right.
Because I do think, I'm sure they're very funny people. I'm sure they laugh a lot. They need to come on here.
They need to loosen
up. Just laugh. Let's tease out all the humor. Get rid of the darkness, you know, and have
this is the
Prince
place.
William beam in or whatever. Get these royals back together as a family. That's one of my goals this year in 2024.
If anyone can bring the royals back together, it's you two.
We won't go rough on them.
There you go. No hard-hitting questions right here. You heard it.
No, just fun.
Yeah.
All right, well, Fortunes, stay in touch and like me more than Dana. Do what you can.
It's hard.
I know.
I always wanted to get on the Fortune 500, and I feel like I kind of have. No, I have no closer.
Of course you have. That was a great closer, Dana.
All right, bye.
I'll just say goodbye as the church lay. Well, Fortune, Feinmeister Oyster. We don't know how to pronounce our last name, do we? But Jesus loves us, and we know that. We like to do our little comedy jokes and strut around the stage like a little scrumpet. Anyway, sorry, that's all I got.
Oh, my God.
She's mean.
That just took me to a very wonderful place in my childhood.
This has been a presentation of Odyssey. Please follow, subscribe, leave a like, a review, all the stuff, smash that button, whatever it is, wherever you get your podcasts. Fly on the Wall is executive produced by Dana Carvey and David Spade, Jenna Weiss-Berman of Odyssey, Charlie Finan of Brillstein Entertainment, and Heather Santoro. The show's lead producer is Greg Holtzman.